with all of those great programs at Carolina, that raises the question of which sports get the funding from UNC. And that brings us to Stroman on Sports, talking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, the athletic star and her own right, analytics expert, and a longtime commentator. You can also catch her on WCHL on Cover 2 during the college football season. Debbie, thanks for being with us today, and give us a sense of the other controversy that's kind of brewing underneath all of this news today.
Well, there's no doubt a big smile for those who are supporting UNC football and having the signings from Coach Mac Brown, but I don't think anyone has not continued to wonder about the whole Silent Sam saga at UNC, and seeing the athletes that have spoken up about this, just knowing that the athletes who are coming to town this fall, certainly next year and years on, whether or not they'll be ready to address this divide that we have going on, sadly. So that's the first thing to say. Congrats, but I hope they come ready to get involved in this this very, very divisive matter. But in terms of the other stuff that's going on, I don't know if people really paid attention much to the Hall of Fame coach, I believe, Anson Dorrance, for women's soccer at UNC. This isn't the first time we've heard from Anson in terms of his thought that women's basketball receives too much of the marketing money when you think about Olympic sports. Let's make it more balanced. Let's distribute it better. And in particular, women's soccer is the sport to go with. And he always references the 90,000 people who paid for that Rose Bowl ticket to watch the World Cup. And with that being said, and of course, the very prominent and dominating program that he has, he believes that more money should go to women's soccer versus women's basketball.
Do you think he has a point? We've seen that one game, obviously, that he keeps referring to the Rose Bowl, but he also referred to a more recent development, and we're talking about an article and some comments that he made fairly recently, talking about developments in terms of the popularity of just soccer in general, in particular pockets of the country, Atlanta being one. And I was just down in Atlanta not long ago, and he's got a point. It's a really soccer dominant city right now in terms of Atlanta just winning the MLS Cup, and a lot of support for that team in Atlanta after just a few years there. And that's a city that has always struggled to develop fan bases for its pro sports teams, whether it's the Braves or the Falcons or the Hawks or any of the several NHL teams that have passed through on their way to other cities where they're more successful. But soccer really seems to have taken off, at least right there.
Well, I can say taken off in the United States, but worldwide, whether you're talking about Latin America, South America, Central America, Africa, Europe, soccer is one of the most popular sports, along with cricket and some other, you know, sports. But in the United States, we're all about American football and basketball. But with the changing demographics, in particular with the increase of Latinx and Hispanic folks, we are seeing much more business dollars going to soccer. In particular, when you think about ESPN and ESPN Deportes and how they are now putting on these soccer games, not only here in the United States, but all over the world. In terms of women's soccer, yes, but definitely want to speak on context. Way back when, and I'll say in the late 70s, when the, as many would say, the coup took place, as in the NCAA decided that they wanted to have, they wanted to govern women's sports. Previously, it was governed by the AIAW organization. And when the NCAA took over women's sports, they did two things in particular. One, they created the senior woman administrator so that women would have a place at the table. And I put that in quotation marks, but that SWA position still exists today. And then they announced that women's basketball would be anointed the sport that they would support out of all the other women's sports. And so we fast forward, women's basketball was an easy choice because of its popularity. Basketball is popular, and they already had what we call ready-made stars from the Olympians, and then there were dynasties, Immaculata women's basketball, Tennessee, Louisiana Tech, Old Dominion. So it was an easy decision. But now when we fast forward, when women have advances in technology, facilities, they're receiving much more intense and sport-specific workout regimens and planning. Now we have women who are actually saying, you know what, I love basketball, but I'd rather do volleyball. I'd rather do soccer. And so you have these prominent programs that have grown with great attendance. In fact, when you look at women's volleyball this past Final Four they had in Illinois, I mean, the attention and the attendance has been outstanding. So I think Anson has a point, but yes, I am biased towards women's basketball, but he certainly has a point.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, so are we talking about a finite amount of resources here? I mean, Anson is comparing women's basketball to women's soccer, but does that necessarily mean that any additional funding that comes to women's soccer would have to come out of women's basketball, or are there other ways of accomplishing what he wants without taking funds from other sports?
Well, as you know, I'm certainly not one without opinion, but on this one, I'll let the facts just go out there and let our listeners just define their own truth. But when you think about UNC and its athletic department, as reported to the government, mm-hmm. The total revenues were $90 million, about $90.5 million, okay? And when they talk about revenues minus all of the expenses, they only report that they've earned about $37,000. So where is all this money going to? And you ask a great question. Is it from a finite slice of the pie? Well, in terms of money allocated per participant, football, $31,000 per participant, and totally about $4 million goes to our football operation. Men's basketball, $105,000 per participant, and about $1.8 million goes to fund men's basketball. And here is the wow facts. Women's basketball, $25,000 per participant and about $978,000 to run women's basketball. And for women's soccer, $4,000 per participant, and it costs about $201,000 to run the program. So when you think about the money that goes to football, $4 million to run the program, the amount of money spent per participant for men's basketball, $105,000. And then you've got women's basketball fighting for, I would say, per participant total, about $30,000 each. And then about $1.2 million for both squads. And you can look at this information. You can go to ope.ed.gov, as in the Office of Postsecondary Education. Just look up Office of Postsecondary Education, Equity in Athletics, and anyone can run these numbers. But this is what's reported to the government. And thank heavens, of course, we have the Rams Club to help pay for supplemental salaries and capital projects and things like that. Yeah, but that's what's submitted.
This debate between women's basketball and women's soccer and who should get the funds vis-a-vis the other is reminding me of the story about the rich guy and the two poor guys and the 100 cookies, and the rich guy takes 98 of them and points at the two poor guys and says, watch out for the other one, they want to take your cookie.
Well, that was spot on. And again, this goes back to the criticism around college athletics, the commercialism. We can continue to build football and men's basketball while everybody else participates in what we call oppression Olympics, fighting over the crumbs. Now, some would argue, well, football pays the bills, and at Carolina, men's basketball pays the bills. So I don't know. There's enough for both sides to continue this discussion and this heated debate about what's happening with college sports.
But as we wrap up this conversation, that actually raises the final question, which is football and men's basketball get all the funds because they are the revenue generating sports and they do end up being revenue neutral or revenue positive. Anson's point, or one of Anson's points here in the comments that he made recently, is that women's soccer in general, could be a revenue neutral or a revenue positive sport if universities were willing to make the commitment to giving it the support it needs to become a revenue neutral or revenue generating sport. Do you think he's right there, or is soccer, just at least for the foreseeable future, necessarily going to be a revenue loser?
Well, the way everything's structured, you can't do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this type of movement would have to happen at the NCAA level and then the conference level. And so I don't know if UNC could be successful in having a ticket that, you know, generates money, as in you're trying to get many, many people, more than the thousand some folks who turn out to women's soccer at Carolina, but you're going to need a lot more. Now, being in a soccer hotbed area like the Triangle, I think we have to continue to pay attention to the North Carolina Courage and what they're doing and their attendance numbers. I don't know. Well, I would say this. It would be nice to have women's soccer at UNC receive more dollars in their budget, but I don't think it should necessarily be at the expense of women's basketball. I think there's a lot that needs to be done with women's basketball marketing as well, and not only at UNC, but I'm talking about nationally and professionally. This is definitely the opportunity time to jump and take some of the fans from women's basketball, because women's basketball is struggling with their identity and some of the other things that are going on. But I don't think it should necessarily come from women's basketball or Olympic sports at all.
I'll keep talking about this issue for a while. Dr. Debbie Strohman, thank you so much.
Thank you.